Ny episode av Det alle snakker om med Siri og Kim.
Hvis ikke du klipper av den dumme mannen og slutter å si hjertens fryd og evig har lengt den, så setter jeg en champagnekork i tissen og går i hard demo herfra ut.
Hør Det alle snakker om gratis der du hører podcast. They're waking up with the sunrise low, bulletproof
coffee, they're ready to go. Velkommen til Biohacking Girls podcast, der vitenskap møter livsstil, og der vi tar kontroll over vår egen helse.
Vi dykker ned I teknologi, ernæring, trening og mentale hacks for å styrke kropp og sinn. Det handler om å bruke naturens prinsipper for å finne balanse, energi og glede.
Vi tester, utforsker og lever som vi lærer, alt for å inspirere deg til å finne din vei til et balansert og godt liv.
For det alle kan få dette til, og sammen kan vi gjøre kunnskap til praksis og skape varig forandring. Du klar for å ta steg inn I fremtiden? La oss hacke livet sammen.
Alle episoder som nå på engelsk vil bli helt på engelsk, både intro, utro og intervjuet, men vi vil sende dere en gjennomsnakk på norsk også I forbindelse med episoden. Biohacking girls, taking the lead, the future is bright, and they're planting the seed. In this fascinating interview, we sit down with Dr. Michael B. Dibley, a chiropractor who's dedicated his career to helping individuals take control of their health and well-being.
Dr. Dibley shares his insights on how we can become the true architects of our own lives, designing our existence just as carefully and thoughtfully as we would design our homes and cabins.
He explores the concept of living your best life, emphasizing the importance of breaking free from negativity and disease to create a life full of vitality and purpose.
We dive deep into the connection between mindset and health, touching on the powerful placebo effect and how our beliefs and perceptions can shape our physical well-being. Michael also discusses how we can take ownership of our own health rather than leaving it in the hands of others, and how making conscious choices can lead to lasting improvements in both body and mind.
Tune in for an inspiring conversation about how to design a life that serves your highest potential, free from the constraints of illness and negativity.
And so a little bit about Dr. Michael Benjamin Dibley. He is a human potential specialist, international speaker, founder of 360 Quantum, consultant and visionary. He has helped countless people live a life that is in alignment with their highest values and principles. His latest project, Become the Architect, is part of a series that is dedicated to helping people build and rebuild lives that they actually want to live in. He serves clients worldwide and is widely sought after by high performance and achievers. His life purpose is dedicated to helping his clients thrive. He lives by the mantra, excellence is the code. Welcome to the podcast. Biohacking girls, taking the lead, the
future is bright, and they're planting the seed. Welcome, Dr. Michael. We're so happy to have you back on the Biohacking Girls podcast.
Oh, thank you so much. It's great to be back. I was actually, just before I jumped on, I was looking up when the last time we were together on this podcast, and I'm looking at it right now, and it was on April the 26th, 2021. So 4 years, almost to the date.
But we are very happy that you could speak at the Biohacking Weekend the last year. So we have been together at least.
Yeah. We're in communication all the time. That was a great event that you guys put on. It was really, really lovely. I had told Monica, it was quite funny. I had all these calls and people calling me from Norway saying, hey, you're on national TV. And I said, I don't think so. I really don't think so. I don't remember doing an interview or anything. But it was Gaddafi, who's just wonderful, from the Norge Bak Fasaden.
Yes.
And apparently I was. So I looked at that segment, and I think it turned out really well for the Biohacking Weekend. And you guys did a fantastic, fantastic job with that. And yeah. I think made a huge impact, and your impact is growing. So it's nice to see you girls really making an even bigger impact as the years go on.
You know, when we started the biohacking, we were always saying it in English, like biohacking. But now we can even say biohacking, because Norwegians are talking about it too.
yeah, it's great.
But we're so glad to have you back. And we have a surprise question for you that we're going to start the podcast with.
Yep.
We have a new segment that the last guest we have, she's asking a question for our next guest. So Dr. Marte Roa Sivertsen, she is asking you this question. If you think about your brain health, how would you take care of your brain, and what would be the most important aspect of this?
Oh, I love that question. Thank you very much, Doc. Okay, so that's multifaceted. I would answer it if you can visualize a circle, a 360. Obviously, it's the biggest thing is your brain food, which is what you're thinking. That's the fuel for your brain. And basically, you can reprogram your brain by how you're thinking. That's why people in different parts of the world, we just flew in from New York just 2 days ago, back from New York. And of course, that has its own ecosystem of thoughts and thinking. And of course, here in Oslo, where we're at now, has a different form of thoughts and thinking. And so I think what you tell yourself subconsciously and how you think about yourself and your life and the impact and implication of that is number one. Of course, what you guys cover a lot is nutrition. Really important. And I want to like really highlight, and I'm sure we'll dive into this during this podcast, is environment. Because I know you guys wanted to kind of dive into the epidemiology and the epigenetics as well. And that's really important because you could have the most intelligent person in a completely wrong environment. And you probably have heard that quote. I don't know if it was Darwin or who it was, but it was said like, if you judge a fish how it runs, it's not going to do too well. So environment, I would say. So make sure your brain's in an environment where it's in an environment where it can thrive.
Lovely. Thank you.
Lovely to hear. She was actually talking a lot about being together with other people, community. So environment is a big issue when it comes to neuroplasticity and brain health. We have today's topic is quite interesting because in a way we're going to dig into different areas, but to be an architect of your own life, mm-hmm. and also considering how life affects us, how placebo effect would work in us, and how all this goes together with your work when you work with the central nervous system, which is what you do.
Right.
So first of all, to be an architect of life, Michael, what is that and what is your definition of it?
Well, it's interesting. Like most of my work in my life, in my 42 years as Michael B. Dibley, it comes through. B.J. Palmer talked about this as a thought flash. So it's coming through from the universe. If the religious people are on the listening, then you could say God. If the non-religious people are listening, you could say universe or source. So whatever you want to call it, it's certainly up to you and each individual person for themselves. But it came through really, Monica, and it's a great question. It really came through with this architect concept because, as you know, when we're in Norway, our main house is here in Oslo, and we call it the Ocean House. And then we also have our mountain house in Geilo, but we also have property and we live, you know, part of the time abroad. So I started to think how much time, energy, and money people put into their homes, into their apartments, into their cabins, into their abode. And I thought, wow, that's really, really great because my wife and I are both very interested in the arts. My wife has worked in the arts for almost 35 years now. And there's a great deal of thought and intention behind a great artist and a great architect. And a lot of people are familiar with spending time, money, and energy on creating and building a beautiful home or second home or third home or whatever. But how often are people focused on creating a great life? And I think anybody can make a great home, no matter the budget, you know, rich or poor, black, white, skinny, whatever. If you have the right intention, you can make a beautiful home. But I think very few people actually think about how to make a great life. And I think a great home is part of a great life. I don't think a great home makes a great life. I think it's just part of a great life because the greatest home we have is our bodies. That's our first house. So if we start to understand how to take care of our first home, which is our bodies, you know, our minds, our spirits, then I think we're going to have a really great experience as we go through this physical existence. And so that's kind of what I wanted to touch base on with you guys today was, you know, teaching people to really stop, become aware of, okay, start to become kind of a curator of your life. You know, look around where you're at right now. Do you like everything you see? Do you like where you live? Is it the right environment for your brain? Like, you know, Aletta had asked earlier from the good doctor, you know, are we in the right environment? Do we love everything we're seeing? Do we love the art on the walls? Do we love our kitchen table? Do we love everything around us? So if something in your environment is bothering you subconsciously or consciously every day, then it's going to be quite the challenge, you know, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, to really access your full potential, because something's always bothering you in your daily environment. So becoming the architect, I think, is a very, very important topic. And it's actually a book I've been working on for the last year or so, Becoming the Architect of Your Life. And I think it's very multifaceted and it's very pertinent for the current zeitgeist, for this day and age, because so many people, there's so much stimulation, there's so much going on. I think that they need to pull back for a moment and really start to become the architect of their lives again.
This is music to my ears. It sounds like biohacking, and I like your analogy with the building the house. It's really interesting because I think you're so right. It's so easy to do the outside stuff, but we never look inside. So how do we start this? How do you start that book, Michael?
Well, I think it starts first and foremost with getting clear with yourself. I think you have to clear out your own, and this is where you girls are really masters at and have taught thousands, maybe millions by this time, on how to take care of their first house, which is their mind, their body, and their spirit. I think it's really difficult to create the dream life that you want, or the life that you want, let's say, and to transform that thought and that vision into a real action if you yourself are disconnected, toxic because of what you're thinking, what you're eating, your environment, like we've said many times already. So I think first and foremost, you have to get your first house cleared. And that has to be cleared. Your central nervous system has to be cleared, has to be connected. So that's number one. I think, as you were saying, Aletta, I think that so many people start on all the outside stuff when in fact health is really an inside job. And the ultimate doctor does live within you. You know, you have a self-healing, self-regulating mechanism within your body, and it's in your central nervous system. You know, it's your central nervous system immune response and your adaptability. So I think your level of adaptability is number one. And then, of course, you can go into all the exterior stuff. Okay, does this area, does this country, let's start with the country. Does it fit my value system? Is it enough sunlight? If you're a skier, is there enough snow? I mean, it depends on, everybody has a fingerprint for a reason. You know, and I think everybody has to really design their custom life for them. And I think that's why we see so many high rates of depression and anxiety and frustration and domestic violence, because I think a lot of people are trying to fit their big lives, which is who they are. Everyone, you know, the nature of biology is to expand. And if you look around at a lot of the architecture in the past, say, 50 or so years, at least like post-World War II, it's not very inspiring. The majority of it. You know, we were in Paris just 2 weeks ago, Amsterdam. I mean, just as an example. And I thought, man, I think we're really going retrograde architecturally. I mean, these people used to live in bigger spaces, you know, more beautiful buildings. And of course, they had bigger thoughts and better thoughts. And if you think about what people are trying to fit their beautiful souls, their beautiful lives into, which is essentially a box today, then of course there's going to be frustration as a result of that. So I think we have to look at the whole picture and not just treat the symptoms and really look at someone's value systems and their philosophy. And, you know, everybody has their own blueprint, you know, and that's what you have to work with. There's no like one size fits all, and everybody's just beautifully a little different. And I think that's wonderful.
But as a doctor and also being brought up by doctors for generations.
Yeah.
What do you see like an overall challenge in people's health today in order to find their way? I mean, what are the underlying conditions or why do they develop the diagnosis or pains and aches, and why do they come and see you? Do you see any similarities or yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. It's what we're talking about, the incongruency between their philosophy and their values and where they might surround themselves with, where they live. For example, if those two things are in conflict, right, then you could be the most yogic person, you know, on the planet and still be miserable. There's a reason that, you know, monks are working together in monastery settings with no exterior influence or noise to do their sacred spiritual work. There's a reason that you go to a basketball court and you see basketball players. There's a reason that you go to a football stadium and see football players. There's a reason you go to your beautiful studio in Oslo and see beautiful Legree fitness tables. There's a reason that you go to a juice bar and you see pretty freaking healthy people. You know, for all my single friends, especially in America, you know, who have asked me before throughout the years, hey, I'm really looking for someone. And I always say to them, go to the Whole Foods or the organic food market and go to the Pilates studio and go to the best chiropractor in town. Because in those places are people who want to be healthy. And so this is environment, environment, environment. And environment is a manifestation of our intention. And the beautiful thing with Core Balance, which you guys have started with, live your intention. And that's really where it all starts. I mean, if you look at architecture, we talked about architecture, but architecture is just a manifestation of someone's intention, philosophy, or lack thereof, and what they want to create. And so it goes back to that example of, like, if you take a seed and you put it in a really small pot, no matter how big the seed is meant to be, you know, by God or the universe, by its own biological blueprint, it will only grow as big as that pot will allow it. Okay, you transplant it to a bigger pot, it gets bigger. So it just depends on you, the seed in this case, and how much impact you want to have in your own life and, of course, the lives of others. And I see with clients, environment, environment, environment. And this is nothing new. I think this is something throughout history. I'm sure you guys have seen the documentary with the blue zones and studying different areas around the planet where people live the longest and things like this. So we have to be in places that align with our values. And oftentimes that's not always easy. And oftentimes that's not always possible. So we have to make the best of it. We have to become very adaptable. Sometimes we have to affect the environment around us and not allow the environment to affect us. That's very important too, especially for those people out there that are listening who feel very stuck. They don't know where to start. Well, start right with yourself. Start with meditation. Start with, you know, creating a list of gratitude of things that put you into a positive vibration and get you thinking about, because an attitude of gratitude, those that are grateful always receive more to be grateful for. And I think that I always say negativity is the gateway drug to all disease, because once you start to have a negative mindset, and which is everywhere, by the way, it's really easy. And it's really, you know, looking out at the world today, the current zeitgeist, it's really easy to be negative. And so once you adopt a negative outlook, then of course, that's not a growth mindset. And I believe, and what I've seen with all my work and my clinical studies, et cetera, is people that are working on a project, people that are building something, people that are looking forward to something are always the healthiest. People that have a lot of ailments, dis-ease, discomfort. I say, what are you working on? Nothing. They don't have anything because they got stuck. Now, nothing's wrong with them per se. We just need to change their perspective. And so once you start to move those gears forward and start to get out of the mud and start to get in the right environment for yourself and your family, then you'll start to thrive again.
Can everybody change?
Yeah, I think if they want to. I think number one, they have to be, I always say 50% of the cure is awareness. You know, you have to have some awareness. If you don't have awareness, then, you know, it's like sailing. You know, I know Jan Frederick sails, as do I. You know, you could be sailing along in a monohull, you know, and you could in a sailboat, and you could be, oh, I'm doing great, I'm crossing the Atlantic, but you could have, you know, 300 kilograms of mollusks on your hull, and you think you're doing great until somebody cleans your hull, and all of a sudden you have, you know, 6 knots out of that. So I sometimes think, I oftentimes think that people don't know what they don't know. You know, I took the Landmark Forum, as well as many people in my family, many, many years ago. And in the Landmark work, it talks about you don't know what you don't know. And so that's the issue, is the awareness. And I know that's really the point and the impetus of what you girls are doing, which is excellent, is bringing awareness, you know, to people and offering them something and saying, hey, we're doing this and we've seen these results. And I think it starts with awareness. So as long as people have awareness and then a willingness to change and a willingness to make something better, I think then the sky's the limit.
But do you see loneliness as a big problem here? That the way we live these days, that could be a problem for that. It's hard to change when you're lonely.
Oh, that's such a great, I'm so happy you brought that up, because since I've been, you know, taking care of clients all over the world, here in Norway, one of the biggest things I noticed with the Scandinavian countries, and the Scandinavians, they'll admit this, they are natural isolators. So the highest, this is something I've said for many years, maybe even perhaps to you guys before, but I'll say it again because it's so important and it's such a great question. The highest form of punishment in maximum security prisons is isolation, right? Like Guantanamo Bay, for example, is arguably and notoriously one of the worst, most horrendous prisons in the world. And the techniques they use there are isolation techniques. So when I came to Scandinavia, I thought, wow, this is really interesting. These people are isolating all on their own. No one's even telling them directly to do it. And they're miserable and they have some really bad outcomes because of being isolated. And so I think that the isolation is self-deprivation. If you think of a flower or a plant, you know, if it never gets sunlight, it's never going to grow. If it never gets water, it's never going to grow. If it never has, it doesn't have, if it doesn't have a caretaker, someone that cares for it to put it into a bigger pot as it does grow, it will never exceed its potential. And so absolutely, I think isolation is a huge part of it. The funny kind of conundrum with that is we claim to have a world that's so connected via technology and social media, but yet we have an increase in loneliness. So I think we have a lot more connections that are a lot more broad today, but I think we're lacking depth in the general connective nature of people. And I think that's when we feel best is, again, like when we're creating and growing, and usually that involves other people, right? You're never going to build a house totally alone. You know, you're never going to build a business totally alone. You're never going to have a podcast totally alone. So the interconnectedness and surrounding yourself with people who have shared values, I think, is of enormous, enormous benefit to your health and your longevity.
Biohacking girls, taking the lead, the future is bright, and the plant in the seed.
Genome har lansert Retinal Concentrate, en helt ny type A-vitaminprodukt som tar hudpleie til neste nivå. Retinal er 10 ganger mer effektivt enn retinol, men uten økt risiko for irritasjon. Perfekt for deg som vil biohacke huden uten kompromisser.
For vi har prøvd mange retinolprodukter, men aldri greid å gjennomføre på grunn av denne flassingen I ansiktet, men nå det løst. Ingen flassing I ansiktet med retinal fra Skinome. Dessuten inneholder den flere av de mest vitenskapelig beviste ingrediensene mot aldringstegn, nemlig C-vitamin, niacinamid og probiotika.
Og en ting til som unikt, ingrediensene aktiveres først I hånden rett før påføringen, noe som sikrer at du alltid får en fersk og potent dose. I tillegg produktet vannfritt og skal oppbevares kjølig, noe som bevarer de aktive ingrediensene og gir maksimal effekt.
Vi allerede godt I gang med å teste denne, og vi gleder oss til å dele våre erfaringer med dere. Hvis du vil prøve selv, så kan du bruke vår unike rabattkode BIOHACKINGGIRLS20, og den gjelder I hele mars.
Michael, the placebo effect, that refers to when a patient can feel improvement in their health, not because of an actual active treatment, but because they believe they had an active treatment.
Yeah.
How could you see that as a doctor?
Oh,
if the belief system is there and you can make changes just believing in what you think you...
Okay. Great. Another great question. You guys ask great questions and, you know, must be fantastic to have the podcast to be able to talk to all these people around the world and to ask all these questions and to share that. And it must be, you know, must be a wonderful, wonderful thing. So that's a really great question. Now, I had the good fortune of having Dr. Bruce Lipton as one of my professors at Palmer College of Chiropractic. And I became quite good friends with Dr. Lipton, with Bruce. And he's the doctor that published the book called Epigenetics, The Biology of Belief was his first book. And this is really what we're talking about, because that's what placebo is. It's a belief system. And so what you think about, you bring about, right? And people think themselves sick all the time, and people think themselves healthy all the time. You have Dr. Joe Dispenza, who is doing very well right now. His message is resonating enormously with his work. And this was a guy who had a horrific accident, for those of you who don't know, and basically thought himself healthy. You know, he thought himself into health. And I think that's a huge component. I mean, we go back to the three causes of all this dis-ease, and it's thoughts, traumas, and toxins. TTT. Thoughts, traumas, and toxins. And, you know, Dr. D.D. Palmer and Dr. B.J. Palmer, back in the turn of the century, you know, 1895 to say 1910, around there, they understood very well. They called it autosuggestion, what we would call the subconscious mind. They realized how much the zeitgeist, because it was industrialization, right? That America was growing, the world was growing, there was steel production, there was railroads, there was all this stuff happening mechanistically in the physical realm. But there wasn't a huge soul focus. There was a, also in the art realm, there was a vitalism. There was a vitalistic focus coming through. In the health realm, there was osteopathy that was 1895. There was chiropractic 1895. There was Nikola Tesla at the end of the 1800s. I oftentimes say that 1890 to 1910 is the greatest renaissance never talked about. In that period is when there was a lot of people really waking up to what really causes health, what really causes dis-ease. And so a huge, huge part of that is autosuggestion or the placebo effect. Depends on what circles you're talking in, what part of the world, but these are all the same thing. The placebo effect, the biology of belief, epigenetics, these are all more or less synonyms. So you can think yourself sick or think yourself healthy. Abraham Lincoln said, whether you think you can or can't, you're right. You know, and that was absolutely true, you know, then as it is true now. You know, if you think that you're, like if you think about where you're at right now, no matter whoever is listening to this, if you think about the house or the apartment or the town or the city or the farming community, if you're really rural, if you think about everything around you, it wasn't there 100, 200, 300 years ago. Someone thought this into existence and brought this into existence through thought, vision, and action. And now we're living with someone else's, you know, vision or dreams. And I think that's why people actually have a lot of tension or misery inside, because they feel like they haven't become the architect of their lives. They're living in someone else's architecture. And I think that's when we really thrive, is when we feel like this is my life. You know, I have a part of creating it. Maybe not all alone. I don't think we do anything all alone. You know, we need Mother Earth. We need food. We need nutrition. You know, we need building materials. So we're never doing anything totally autonomous. It's all interconnected. But I feel like when we own our lives and we feel like we are the co-creator or in the driver's seat, that's when we're happiest. You know, I think that a lot of people feel like they're not in control of their lives. And I feel that that's where a lot of frustration, isolation, overwhelm, depression comes from.
But in your chiropractic work, how do you use the placebo effect when you work on your clients?
Well, I mean, first, you know, when we're doing the human potential work, the first consultation is really to find out who that person is. Sometimes, oftentimes we start with a personality test. I want to see personally for myself before we even begin what type of personality we're dealing with. And oftentimes it's really, I call it the mirror effect. That first session, I want to just bring out the mirror. So people, the faster people can see exactly where they're at without any sort of judgment and without any sort of illusion, you know, the faster we're going to get a great result, because that, back to that awareness being 50% of the cure, you know, we're not healing anything. I'm not healing anything per se. You know, I'm just a facilitator, right? I didn't build that person's body. I'm not responsible for that person's story. Yet they present on my doorstep, you know, after 20, 25 years in some cases, 30 years, 40 years of pain, suffering, disease. So first is we have to wake them up out of that mud and say, here's the mirror. Here's where we're at. You're in full control of it. You're not a victim of this. You know, it's like I would say, you want to be the victim or the victor. There's no solutions in victimhood, unfortunately. So it doesn't pay the bills. We got to become the victor. You know, we want to do what pays. We got to hit pay dirt. And so as long as we get people to flip around, I call it quantum Tai Chi, to whatever bad experience, perceived bad experience they had, if we can flip that around and Tai Chi that, flip the energy, and get them to realize they were given this challenge because they are strong enough to defeat it. They are strong enough to turn it around. And oftentimes, tough times, hard times, people that don't have that awareness, they don't realize what that's the gift of a warrior. There's not one successful person that I take care of that hasn't gone through hell. You know, I always say you have to go through hell to get to heaven. And that's just the truth. I mean, you can read any autobiography, any biography on any great man or woman throughout history, and I can guarantee you they've gone through several wars in their life, personal, mental, physical, financial, emotional. It's the warriors. It's the warriors. We are warriors. We are warriors. So you have to, it starts with how you see yourself. But if you feel so powerless, so isolated, so victimized, man, there's no power in any of that. If you start to say to yourself just this simple sentence, it's not in the way, it's on the way. It's not a breakdown, it's a breakthrough. You have to reframe. That's number one. You have to start to reframe what happened. And I think a lot of people get so blindsided and so shocked by what has happened in their life. We've all had that, right? We've all had things where like, that wasn't in the calendar. Hey, that wasn't in my planner. And it happens. Like I had a brother that passed away. That wasn't in my calendar. We had to adapt. We had to understand the universality of that. We had to understand, okay, this is one human being. It's part of all of our stories. We're going to all pass from the physical realm. That's why I don't say death. I say passing. So vocabulary is really important. How you speak, how you think, what you tell yourself. Back to, is it in the way or on the way? You know what I mean? Victim or victor. So we have to reframe. That's one of the first things we have to do, is get people to reframe. Because if you're stuck in that story of victimhood, that's going to definitely lead to isolation. Because of course, you're not in control of anything, right? It's the government, it's the natural forces, it's whatever, right? So you have to put yourself back in the driver's seat. And you're alive for a reason. And the nature of biology is to expand. And we feel really good. Like when you guys have a great podcast, we already do have a great podcast, but when you have like great, I'm sure you check your metrics, but when you start to see, oh my gosh, we affected 150,000 people last week. Man, what do you guys feel? You feel great. It's like, oh, we made a difference. You made an impact. And I believe that's how it works for all human beings. Whenever we feel like we're making an impact bigger than our own life is when we feel great.
So this has to do with positive expectations too.
Yeah.
And can you see how those have led to better outcome for your own patients?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. 100%. Can you share some examples?
Oh, I mean, like I can share thousands of examples, but I will say for all the listeners out there, you know, everybody has their own music. Everybody has their own vibration, their own frequency, right? And so I look at people like music, and the really successful people, they listen to lots of types of music. The really successful people, they like lots of different types of food. The people that don't thrive is the people that are not adaptable. So adaptability is really important. And I like to have access to the AM radio, the FM radio, the satellite radio, to all the frequencies, you know, because there's a time and place for everything. You know, I like to drive sometimes. I like to listen to hip hop or Mozart because it sets a backdrop. The hip hop is a vibration that keeps me awake and aware and alert, and I'm engaged in the drive. Whereas the Mozart is more reflective. I can kind of set that as the backdrop, and everything becomes this beautiful film, this mosaic. So absolutely, I can give you lots of examples of that, but I can also say that with people that have a desire, have a hunger to, they know something inside of them is bigger than what they're currently living in and what they're currently doing. I think that's important, to stay hungry no matter how much you have. And you know, Tony Robbins talks about this too, and this is something that I've taught and talked with many different clients from around the world about, is most people actually do get what they want. That's what's funny. Like a lot of people where they're at right now today, if I say to them, hey, if 10 years ago, this would be a dream to you, this life, this house, this husband or wife, this job, whatever. They say, oh, that's true. This was my dream. I said, but you forgot to make a new goal. So I think a lot of people get what they want, but they don't up. They don't re-up. They don't say, oh, okay, well, we need to make a new goal now. It's kind of like you guys with the podcast. You start the podcast, you're on episode, what number are you guys on now?
265.
265 episodes later, you know, lots of hours, work, investment, time, energy, money, behind the scenes, with an idea and a heart of service and a hunger to make an impact. And, you know, BJ Palmer used to talk about this, one of my favorite quotes. He said, you never know, something you say, think, or do will affect the lives of millions tomorrow. And that's what's funny as we get older, right? Because I'm at the airport or I'm in different parts of the world, and all of a sudden I'll run into a client, I'll run into somebody from 10, 20 years ago now that I'm 42, you know, it's like, oh, I didn't even know. Now you changed my life. Oh, no problem. So I think that what we're doing in life is one of the things that you could work on and take on as a project is making as many karma deposits as possible each day, being as kind as possible in the smallest to the grandest of ways, being as nice to people as you possibly can, and understanding that each person is going through his or her own war, struggle, etc. So I like to use the word grace. I think that there's a grace we have to meet life with. And it's so easy, like we said earlier, it's so easy to become negative. It's so easy to become disenchanted. But honestly, you're alive to make a difference, not only in your life, but in the lives of others. You know, and that's the whole point of life. You know, I always say, show me someone with a purpose and I'll show you a life. Someone without a purpose, they don't have a life. That's not a life. That's existence. There's a huge difference between existence and living. And we don't want to just exist. We've all felt that at certain times when we've gotten sideswiped by life. And we've all had that. That causes reflection, I hope, for most, for all. But we don't just want to exist. We want to live and we want to thrive. And that's when we feel our best. And that's how we're programmed. That's how we're wired to make impact.
So last week we had Marta, the neuroscientist on the pod about the brain health. And she said, if you think about the synapses in the brain, it's good to repeat stuff because then you really learn and remember.
Yeah.
But it's also good to break the pattern and learn and do new things.
Absolutely.
So in order to become this architect of your life, should you just explore more and don't do so much routine work?
Well, I think it's a beautiful harmonization between both. It's like sometimes when I lecture, people say, you know, should I work harder or smarter? You know, and, you know, I had made 15 human potential centers in my life and taken care of, you know, hundreds of thousands of people around the world for many years. And that was one period of my life. And I loved it. And I absolutely loved it. I see private clients now and I absolutely love it. Like I said earlier, my wife is an art advisor, among other things. I also love the art world. I love architecture. I love skiing. I love to ski with my children. I think adaptability is the whole thing. And I think what happens to people, and that's why I don't like the word retirement. You know, my father's 65. He's about to retire from practice, from private practice. Okay. He's one of the best top rated chiropractors in America, my uncle and my father. But he's not retiring from his life. He's just retiring from practice, right? Because the limits of the physical realm. He's 65. There's a lot of traveling he'd like to do. He's served people for 42 years now in private practice. He has a team of doctors who are going to continue that work. And I think there's a time and a place for everything. But I think learning and growing and traveling is absolutely essential to the growth of the mind and the neuroplasticity in the brain and the synapses. And, you know, if you look at one of the most ancient ways for people to upgrade their lives was to move. I mean, we're nomadic people. We feel great. I mean, I love to be at airports. To me, that's like one big synapse. You know, I love to see all the different gates and all the different attributes to each culture and kind of, you know, you look at Bogota, Colombia, that's a very different even height of people, right? That's a different civilization. So I think that there's so much to learn just by traveling. I think traveling is one of the best educations you can have. And so you always need something to look forward to because when your brain is in a state of curiosity, it absorbs knowledge, it absorbs information very rapidly. And when it feels like it's being forced or faux grod, really difficult, really, really difficult. Or if you feel in the mundane cycle where you're just like, okay, I know this. I'm at the top of my game with whatever it is in your work or your business. It's like, okay, well, make a new goal. Make a new goal, do a new challenge. You know, talk about Norway. Look at Nikolai Tangen, who's the finance minister, doing a great job. I'm a big fan. My wife and I are big fans of him. Look what he did. He had an amazing fund. He did very well. And he said, we're going to take a year off and I'm going to go learn how to be a better chef. He already knew how to cook, as far as I understand. He just wanted to become better. And I think that's really important. I think that's really, really important, is people at the top of their game are always wanting to learn more. And I think that's the most beautiful thing. I think being a student of life is the most beautiful role that you can play. I mean, the know-it-alls are the most boring people I've ever met. It's like, haven't you ever noticed the know-it-alls know nothing? They know a lot about a little. So to become a student of life and to be curious, you know, and to challenge yourself, you know, we're also in the wine business. We import natural wine and we absolutely love it. I grew up with wine. So that's been a great challenge. The whole supply chain, the growers, all the genus and species of the grapes. That's a whole other PhD, you know, it's like, so I love that challenge. You know, I love the challenge of language. I think that you should always remain in a state of curiosity.
Biohacking girls, taking the lead, the future is bright, and they're planting the seed.
Som biohackere vi alltid på jakt etter produkter som kan ta helsen vår til neste nivå, og kollagentilskudd en no-brainer for oss.
Vi har tatt det daglig i lengre tid, og resultatene de snakker for seg selv. Kollagen ikke bare et skjønnhetstriks, det mat for huden din.
Det gir både næring og spenst, og det akkurat derfor vi valgte The Solution fra Oslo Skin Lab.
Vi har merket god forskjell. Hydrolysert kollagen faktisk en stor trend internasjonalt nå. Folk over hele verden hopper på bølgen for å booste elastitet og hudens helse, og vi med.
Huden mister kollagen med årene, men det aldri for sent å begynne å tilføre det tilbake, så hvorfor ikke gi kroppen din det den trenger for å føle og se bra ut? Nå får du dessuten vitamin C som gave i mars når du abonnerer på The Solution, en perfekt match for strålende hud. Rabattkoden BIO60GAVE.
Dr. Michael, you're just amazing. I love listening to you and your enthusiasm. But back to the placebo, because I think we can relate that to whatever you're talking about, because you know all these studies about you get a pill and if you believe it's a medicine, you are suddenly you're so much better and it's just a placebo. So the mind has a great power. And I guess this is also what we're talking about when we are the architect of our life. Yeah. So how is this similar?
Oh, it's inextricably linked. I mean, there's certain people. You could take it, for example, like crawl, walk, run is a mantra I have. Crawl, walk, run, crawl, walk, run, crawl, walk, run. And that really is the cycle of our life, right? We crawl, then we walk, then we run. You guys, I mean, you know, when I first, you know, Monica came in the office, Oscar's Gata, it was many years ago now. And then she's like, oh, you got to come into my studio. And I happily did. And I was there every morning, Monday to Friday. And I loved it. And I had this wonderful human being who's one of our hostesses. Aletta was my, you know, drill sergeant. And I loved it. And so that was my introduction to Pilates and to Le Grec. And I think that when you push yourself into new things, you automatically learn. And in regards to the placebo, right, I don't really like personally the word. I mean, there's been books called The Placebo Effect.
Yeah.
But what I like, it goes back like Bruce Lipton, like the biology, it's all it is a belief system. And if you go back to that crawl, walk, run kind of mantra and framework, I mean, you can take anybody who's done great things. You know, we went to an Anselm Kiefer opening in Amsterdam. It was last week. And Anselm was just born like most of us are born, as children. He didn't immediately come out of his mother's womb and start running now, did he? No. But over time, his curiosity took him places, and he became one of the world's best painters. So he wasn't always that. So we're always growing into something, right? So we're either going to grow disease or we're going to grow health, right? And that's why we say, I think we should change the name of the Sikahusa. It should be called Helsahusa. If we really want to get people healthy, we should focus on health. If we want to really get people healthy, we should support their organs. We should support their nutrition. We should support the environment, you know? And so again, what you think about, you bring about. And, you know, I can give you a million examples. Look at Usain Bolt. At one time he said, I'm going to be the fastest guy in the world. Well, that's why he looks like the fastest guy in the world. Lindsey Vonn just podiumed this past weekend. First time in a long time. One of the best female skiers in the world besides Michaela Schifrin, right? She wanted to get back in the game. She thought herself back in the game. She's podiumed this past weekend. So it always goes back to what you think about, you bring about. It always does. I mean, whatever you think about Donald Trump, he thinks he's the best in the world. Well, he says it every day, no matter how many people say he's not. So I think the power of your mind is beyond a value. I would call it IV, infinite value, you know? And that's why it's so important to surround yourself with the type of environment and people that are congruent with where you want to go. And I think that's really important. I think that's, you know, that's why if you go to a car factory, they're making cars, you know, that's why. So everything has a different vibration. You know, that's why Monica likes Marbella because she loves the beach. She knows what it does for her soul, you know, and so she's congruent with that. And that's why she physically made the move to spend more time there and to raise her family in that vibration. And that's a beautiful thing that she's doing for herself, her family, and of course for Mikkel, you know, our wonderful Mikkel, who's a brilliant human being, but becoming more and more, as I see, what do you call that?
Parkour?
His parkour skills are like insane. So it goes back to like, look at Norway, right? Norway, I basically call the Winter Olympics should be called Norwegians competing with Norwegians, because they absolutely dominate the Olympics, the Winter Olympics. So if you want to be one of the best skiers in the world, it might be a good idea that you move here, right? But if you want to have a vineyard and you want to grow some of the best wine in the world, not the best country. You might want to go down to Italy or France. So every place has its attributes and its benefits. And, you know, as an individual, you got to ask yourself, where do I fit in that? And what's my belief? What's my placebo? You know, what's your belief? What's your belief? Because what you think about, you bring about.
This is interesting. I was just in Miami and one of your colleagues too, Dr. Melissa Saunders, who's a chiropractor too. And she sends her love to you.
Likewise.
Yes. And we were watching the kids playing soccer and we were talking and she says, you can see the kids who do chiropractic care when they're kids.
Always.
You can see that. Why? Explain that to us.
Always. I mean, it was funny. I mean, that's part of why that's why I got my doctorate in chiropractic, because, you know, I went to private Catholic school as soon as we started school. And, you know, I went to a beautiful school and it was called St. Thomas. It's still called that, still there. St. Thomas the Apostle Catholic School. I'm the oldest of six, so we all went there. And as you get older, right, life is in sevens, you know, in 7-year cycles, 7-year evolutions. 0 to 7 is crawl, walk, run, right? And at the beginning of the 0, when you're born, you're crawling around, you're on the ground. And at the end of that 7-year cycle, you're vertical. You have a totally different perspective. And so at the end of probably my second evolution, when I was almost 14, I started to really, you become more observant, as everyone does. And I thought, okay, we all go to a great school. We all live in a really, you know, quite nice homes. Most of the people in that community are married. There's not a high rate of divorce, right? It's a much lower rate than the general public. So I thought, okay, everybody's doing more or less the same things. We're playing soccer and all that. But why are some of my friends sick all the time? I started to ask this kind of innately. I thought, they have what I have. We're all doing more or less the same thing. We have the same routine, more or less. You know, our nutrition is similar. Why? How come we're never sick? How come we're never? And I start to realize, what are we doing differently? And we were going and getting adjusted every week at our family office. And of course, we were eating organic, right? I grew up in a place I showed you guys in the last lecture that we did at the Biohacking Weekend. And that's back to environment. Solomon Fowler, this, you know, turn of the century, beautiful property. And we had well water, right? It was completely natural, clean water, 7.4 pH. So environment, environment, environment. And we were getting adjusted. We were getting our central nervous system checked and cleared for any interference every week. And if you have a human being who's growing through these 7-year cycles, 7, 14, 21, et cetera, and they're having their biggest growth period, you know, from 0 to 7, and then 7 to 14, puberty starts to hit, and we have a vertebra or we have a neurological interference, right, within the system, then all of a sudden that twig is going to grow. As the twiggeth is bent, so groweth the tree. So no one would build a crooked house, you know? No one would go out and say, hey, let's make this totally lopsided car. So why, how come we can't apply that same principle to human health? You know, if someone's completely twisted, if someone's completely hunchbacked, then of course their T1 to T4 is being choked, which controls their heart and lungs. You know, I have so many clients that have come to me over the years who are so intelligent, but no one has shared this basic information of form determining function. I remember I had the psychologist, and she was really at the end of her rope, and she's one of the best psychologists in Norway. And she was really at the end of her rope and really, really, really down. And I started to do a pattern interrupt with her. I really just started to laugh. And she was like very bewildered. And I had to do kind of a pattern, like I said, pattern interrupt, had to reprogram, you know, the frequency of how she was thinking. And she's like, why are you laughing? And I said, I'm laughing because you're so intelligent, but you don't realize that your neck is hanging out 3 centimeters over your shoulders, which is choking your atlas, which is your brainstem, which will then limit the oxygen to your brain. And limited oxygen to the brain, what's the symptom of that? Depression, among other things. Lowered energy. So, you know, as long as we keep ourselves clear and connected, well adjusted, we have a great chance of being healthy throughout our lives. And, you know, form determines function.
So what happens psychologically when you, as a chiropractor, make adjustments to the spine or the neck like this?
The number one thing people in my practices, in my my experience, the number one thing people say is, ah. That's my number one response. And what is that?
So, relief.
Yeah. So I'm a big fan of that. That's, yeah. So what that is, relief. Exactly. It's the weight of the world off their shoulders. Goes back to the serenity prayer. If we can focus on what we have control over, which is our attitude, which is our ability to choose, and we totally drop the whole idea of trying to fix everything for everyone, that is an enormous weight lifted from our systems. And you know, emotional heaviness is going to translate to physical heaviness. You know, I have never met someone that's overweight or obese that doesn't have deep emotional trauma or drama, emotional eating. I'm sure you guys have addressed this on your podcast. So there's a lot of symptomatology when you're not connected and your central nervous system isn't functioning at 100%. You know, it's kind of like the example I give all the time is like this. You can hear something, but it's not clear. And it's the same thing in your body. When your body's clear, you know, it has a wonderful, wonderful proclivity for healing. It just, its natural state is to heal. You know, your natural state is not to be sick. That's not a natural state. That's the result of an unnatural state, you know? So, you know, a lot of times symptomatology, depression, anxiety, obesity, a lot of the things we see today in society, those aren't the problem. That's just the symptomatology. That's a totally logical response to a completely illogical lifestyle. You guys probably see it all the time in your studios, in your Pilates studios, in your practice, in your podcast, in your, you know, in your world. I have a lot of people from your hormone cure course as well. And it goes back to environment, 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 environment. It's so important. Nature versus nurture. Both are important, but I mean, you're going to either be able to think yourself sick or think yourself healthy. And, you know, the most beautiful thing I hear is, you know, because it's beyond words. You know, I was just in Amsterdam and I was taking care of a woman that really had a really tough time. And she said, I feel like I'm flying. I feel like I'm floating. I said, yeah. And I'm totally used to this. Like, this has been my work for many years. And it's just amazing and so beautiful to watch people start to become light again, you know, start to become light, you know, because I always, and I ask people that all the time, do you want to be heavy or you want to feel heavy or light? I've never met somebody so far that said, you know, I'd like to feel a lot heavier. You know, I've never met somebody that said that. Everybody wants to feel lighter. Everybody wants to be more positive. Everybody wants to have a better life. But oftentimes it takes things such as this podcast for them to learn, you know? So what you're doing with this podcast is you're making a bigger impact than I think you can even understand even in your lifetime. And I think we should just focus on doing as much positive good work as possible. And, you know, another favorite quote of mine is, what gives you the right to know the truth and not share it with others? And so when I was given this life by God, by the universe, and I was born into the family I was born into, I knew something special had happened. And the older I got and the older I am, the more I realized how special that was. And I want to share that with as many people as possible because I want to live in a world, I want to be the change. I want to live in a world where people are connected, that are having high vibrational conversations. I don't want to live in a world where people are, you know, down, depressed, feeling heavy, not solution focused. So we have to be that change. You know, we have to focus on what we want and what we want to bring about. And once we find that and you start to see that beautiful effect happening around you, as I'm sure you guys have experienced too, we just need to proliferate that. And thankfully, you guys have probably seen this, and I've certainly noticed it. I think that natural health, and you know, I saw this trend happening many years ago, is at an all-time high because we live in such an unnatural world. And now everybody's talking about AI and this and that and all this stuff. And I'm like, well, you know, we talked about it last week in New York. It's like enormous amount of energy to run AI. And I say, you know, I don't mind AI. I have ChatGPT. I use it from time to time. I ask it questions, but it still falls really short. And the funniest thing is in the name. It's called artificial intelligence. It will never be superior because it's called artificial. Anything artificial is inferior to that which is, you know, natural. So, you know, it's just hysterical to me. So I think that the more that we surround ourselves and live a natural life, a holistic life, the happier, the healthier, and the wealthier we will be. You know, even a lot of the tech guys, even a lot of the social media guys, they don't allow their children on social media. And there's a reason for that. So, you know, success leaves clues, you know? So back to environment and back to intention and living your intention and focusing on what you'd like to bring about and what you'd like to see in the world.
Live your intention. When you bring that up, what comes to your mind?
I just loved it. I mean, I saw it on your sign many years ago, and it's still there. I think it's still your mantra for your core balance, for your Pilates and Legre. It's perfect. It's exactly what we should all be doing. Live your intention. Live your intention. You know, if I dance around the topic to go like we talked about earlier, learning new things, you know, and I think about a lot of like one of our wine portfolios is completely natural wine. And their intention is to create completely biologic, organic wine that's totally natural. And it produces a totally different product than something that's been tampered with, manipulated, you know, et cetera. So living your intention, I think, is when the mind and the body and the spirit are in alignment, that is what mankind calls happiness. Now, if you're in a place where your body, say your physical body, but your mind, say you're in Oslo physically, but mentally, you're in the Canary Islands or you're in Marbella and every day you wake up and your body isn't where your mind wants to be, what is that going to create for all those people out there listening? It's going to create tension, T-E-N-S-I-O-N, tense ion. The energy is going to be tight. How the heck does somebody, something called a homo sapien, who's 70 to 80% water, This is something that's a really great question too. We are 70 to 80% water, just as we are here on the firmament in the world. It's just a reflection of itself, by the way. Eastern hemisphere, Western hemisphere. We have that in the brain. It's totally quantum reflection. How does something that's 70 to 80% water become so damn tight, so stiff? That's a very good question.
How?
And it's because we're living in a way that's not our intention. But when our mind and our body and our spirit are in alignment, that's what we call happiness. You know what anger is? Frustration is? It's not having an answer. That's what it is. Anger is only there when you don't have an answer. Once we have an answer, there's no anger. Anger leaves the building. Once we have a solution, even if it's an answer we don't like, like even someone says, okay, you have cancer or you have this. Oh, thank God, I have an answer. Oh, thank God. Mm-hmm. You know, I have, it's very interesting to look at this kind of fundamentally how we function as humans. And that's why another area of great interest to me is geopolitics, because I find it fascinating how certain people think in certain areas of the world. I find it absolutely fascinating of the belief systems, you know, and how people thrive in one area and don't thrive in another, or how, for example, in Norway here, we have so many great engineers because the society post-World War II was the whole focus of survival, of focusing and rebuilding the country was engineering, you know, which has led to a wonderful surplus, back to Nikolai Tangen, of profits. And a comfortable situation for the, you know, social welfare. But I always ask, where's the programs for the geniuses? Why do we keep catering to the lowest denominator? Where's the programs for the gifted? You know, my wife and I talked about this last night. I love Petter Northug. Petter Northug is fantastic. When I moved to Norway, I was like, who is this guy? He was just crushing everything. He was the best cross-country skier in the world. And I thought, oh, this guy's amazing. And the country wasn't a real big fan because they thought he was cocky. And he wasn't cocky. He was just confident. It's okay. He was the best in the world at that time. Totally fine. You know, no. I always say my office, when I'm in Norway, I have a Janteloven free zone. I don't have any Janteloven. Thank God. I've never had it in my life and I never will. I think that's a big detriment to people's health too, is, you know, newsflash people, you are alive. You're a big deal. You know what I mean? It's a big deal to be alive. The human experience is pretty awesome once you wake up to the awesomeness of it.
And we should embrace the awesomeness more, I think. Norwegians have so much to learn, and I'm really happy I've been traveling and living abroad to see new perspectives. Anyways, we love your thoughts. We have to just get some biohacks, thinking about routines that can incorporate more of this beautiful landscape where we want like to be and live and thrive. Mm-hmm. Where should we start? Could you mastermind some great biohacks to be the best version of yourself? Like, start with the morning.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so what I would do is, if you don't have one already, whatever's best for you, you can use your iPad or iPhone. I like to write down physically. Have a notepad, and it's like your archive of all the things that you love about your life. And all the things you love about life, from the simplest to the most advanced or complex, you know, learn to see the beauty in absolutely everything. I think being present is one of the biggest keys. It's when we do really genius level work is when we're present. You know, it's not like Monet was eating a cheeseburger while he was painting. He was totally present. So being present, I think that's a really big one, whether you're at the office or you're in the Pilates class or you're, you know, wherever you're at, be present with it, you know, get real with it and don't lie to yourself. And then start your gratitude list. So you start to build up your gratitude bank, you know, get your gratitude bank up. If you want to make a change in your life, you have to focus on what you want, not what you don't want. And I think that's so funny because it's such a simple piece of advice. But I think so many people, you know, get overwhelmed with all the negativity and all the things they don't want. And I'm like, what do you want? Like, I don't know. I'm just all taken up. All their mental real estate is taken up on what's going wrong and what's not functioning in their life. And I think that you have to replace all that crap, all that negativity, and empty the space. So I think the first thing to do if you want to be like start in the morning is gratitude. You know, absolutely gratitude. Obviously, probably not a great idea to start your day with Pepsi Max. You know, You might want to start with water. You might want to start with a really great organic coffee or tea, something to warm yourself up. So what you think, what you eat, what you do, but it all starts with gratitude and being present. That's what I would say is the absolute number one first thing. Then, as you start to move forward and you start to see some things happening in your life, you constantly keep yourself updated. You constantly write a new goal, you know, write a list, have something to work on, you know? And that's when we're happiest, like I said earlier in this interview, is we're always happiest. If you look at yourself, all those people listening, think about when you're happiest. It's when you're building something. It's when you're growing. It's when you're changing. It's when you're making an impact. And it's not when you're tearing something down, or it's not when you're being negative, or it's not when you're looking down at the ground. You know, that's not, of course, these emotions happen to all of us, but we want to limit that, right? We want to increase the positivity. We want to increase we want to optimize and not minimize ourselves. And we always feel best when we feel like we're growing. So, but again, that starts in the soil of gratitude.
Beautiful.
Oh, this is perfect.
Yeah.
We all have so much to do and so high potentials.
Yeah.
And just to have this in mind whenever you start your day, it's amazing, actually.
Yeah, absolutely.
Help everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and even look, the cool thing is we have real live examples around us all the time. Look at every huge company that's happened in the last, say, 30, 40 years. They all started in a garage.
Yes.
So get over the fact that you're in a place that you don't like, whatever. That's where every billionaire starts. They're, you know, some of the smartest people we have in the world right now started their business in a garage, started their life in an apartment, started their life at a place they didn't like. That's the beautiful thing about our lives. That's why you have that feeling to tell you this isn't your life. That's why you're depressed. Depression is a natural signal on your dashboard of life saying new environment needed. New environment needed, new environment needed, you know? And the only way, like I said earlier, the first house is you. So how are you going to get out of the house that you don't like now? Well, you're going to make your way out of there by being kind, by being graceful, by being helpful to the environment around you. You're going to serve your way out of the problem. And I always say this, if you haven't made the pain of your life pay, then you're probably going to be a very disgruntled, upset person. But as long as you make the pain pay, right? You have to make the pain pay. That's the whole thing. And that's all fuel. All that anger, all that frustration, all that disappointment, that's all fuel. That's wonderful, wonderful fuel. It's stored in your liver, so you got to convert it. But it's fuel. I assure you, it's quantum fuel.
Biohacking girls, taking the lead, the future is bright, and they're planting the seed.
Da Norges første biohacking-bok ute.
Ja, endelig den her boken vi har skrevet sammen med Gyldendal Forlag.
Vil du lære hvordan du kan bruke døgnrytme, søvn, trening, ernæring og stressmestring til å optimalisere kroppen og hjernen din?
I boken gir vi de beste verktøyene for å bygge vaner som varer basert på den nyeste forskningen innen biohacking.
Bli med på reisen mot et sterkere, sunnere og mer energisk liv der du tar kontroll på helsen din.
Bestill boken nå og ta helsen din til neste nivå. Link finner du i episodenotatene.
Michael Dibley, this was beautiful. We really appreciate this conversation with you. We have learned so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Always an honor to be with you guys. I'm so proud of you guys. I love to see what you're doing in the world. And I mean, talk about time warp. 4 years, I couldn't even believe it. I had to look at my calendar. So it was so nice to be back with you guys and all of your listeners. So just want to say to everybody out there, have a beautiful, beautiful day. And, you know, it costs nothing to be grateful.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for sharing your knowledge.
It's a pleasure and an honor for me as well.
Biohacking girls, taking the lead, the future is bright, and they're planting the seed.
I just love talking to Dr. Michael. He's so fired up. He has so much energy. I love the American vibe he brings to the podcast.
And to Norway.
Yeah. We need him here in Norway. When you talk to him and he's... all his visions for life and how he's so interested in everything. And I will take with me from this episode, it's what he talked about, the environment, how important that is for our well-being, that we really choose how we want to live, and that everything comes back to where we live, if this is the right place for us, do we have the right people in our life, are we doing the right thing, do we have the right work? I like all the focus on that. Yeah,
that's why we hang a lot together, Aletta, because we crave the same things, the same inspiration. We would like to have a great life, and we hang out at the same places. Yes, and it also has to do with our values. And I love the thing that he said about an attitude of gratitude, because the negative mindset is easier to choose, but it's bringing us down and making us sick. So you can choose either health and life or sickness. Hope you enjoyed this episode, and yes, have a great day.
Hack it,
track it. Vi minner om at dere må snakke med egen lege eller kostholdsveileder om dietter og andre spørsmål relatert til medisiner og supplementer. Informasjon med dele kan ikke bli brukt til å diagnostisere, behandle, forebygge eller kurere noen sykdommer eller tilstander.
Kom ut da! Maten klar! Kom da! Jeg har dekket på ute jo! Hallo! Kom da!
Et piknikpledd på plenen ikke å dekke på, mamma.
Lei av å sitte på bakken! Få heller hagekos fra bare 167 kroner I måneden. Hos Scheidar får du 3 års rentefri delbetaling på alle varer via Svea. Det vil si spisegruppe til hagen fra bare 167 kroner I måneden. Null rente, null gebyr og null kroner I etablering. Velkommen til salg hos Scheidar.